and welcome to The Spotlight. This podcast is for curious minds and aspiring innovators who are leading the charge in the research revolution. We dive deep to discuss inspiring, innovative, informative, and offbeat conversations on product research and strategy. Hi, my name is Iwalola Shobowale. Just to give you a bit of background on myself, I am a product research and strategy lead at a leading technology company in Nigeria in the financial services industry. I've worked in banking, mobile technology, and financial services. We'll be going into the first segment. The first segment, we'll be looking at trending topics in user research. I'll be sharing my perspectives and then throwing open the conversation to you for your opinion. First, we have this post from Dr. Ari Zelmanau, who is the head of user experience research at Twilio. Forgive me if I mispronounce that. And the co-founder of Cult of Curiosity, a membership guild for UX professionals. So he recently posted this on LinkedIn, and I'll be reading now. So it goes as follows. I hate the word validate in UX research. When a stakeholder asks my team to validate something, they usually mean one thing, which is to tell them, the stakeholder, that their thinking is correct. This discounts the value of research and researchers. Neither should be used as a weapon of confirmation bias. Look, I get it. We all want to be right, and human beings tend to discount anything that suggests they are wrong, which is why the scientific method is such a powerful tool. It is grounded in forming hypotheses, asking questions, gathering data, and analyzing results to gain insights and make informed decisions. I propose researchers get rid of the word validate and replace it with the word test. Fin, the end. So yeah, for me, I would say I totally agree. I mean, I could not have said this better. This is something that grinds my gears. I mean, why do stakeholders love this word so much? We want to do research to validate this. We want to find out something that will validate this. I mean, I think we need to communicate to stakeholders that hypotheses are meant to be tested and not just validated. Now, from my understanding, validating a hypothesis means that we, you know, basically focus on providing evidence that would support, you know, the hypothesis. We would be conducting research mainly for the sole purpose of finding data that aligns with the hypothesis. Basically, we are just trying to reinforce its credibility. So, of course, the primary objective is to, like, strengthen the confidence in the hypothesis rather than challenging or disproving it. I mean, to me, what this means is that for stakeholders who use this terminology or have this mindset of validating an idea or a hypothesis, it simply means, or it seems to me, that what's more important is for them to prove their credibility as, you know, an innovator, as, you know, as someone who came up with an idea, rather than actually solving a customer problem. And that's where I really have an issue. I mean, on the other hand, when we look at what it means to test a hypothesis, the focus is on determining whether a hypothesis is true or false. So this would involve, of course, designing and planning, or conducting experiments or studies that are specifically aimed at gathering empirical evidence, you know, with rigor, with research and scientific rigor. The purpose of this kind of study would be to either support or refute the hypothesis. So testing a hypothesis in this context would involve, you know, collecting data, analyzing it, and drawing conclusions based on the results. The goal of this exercise would be to obtain objective evidence that confirms or rejects the hypothesis that's tested. I'll give you an example of why this distinction is so important. Say, for instance, a hypothesis could be something like, okay, maybe users will find the new navigation menu more intuitive and efficient on the app. So let's say we want to test this hypothesis. We might say we have a prototype. We might say we want to conduct usability testing with participants, maybe observe their interactions with navigation menu and gather data on their experiences. Of course, we could also maybe do like an A-B test with the existing design, maybe that doesn't have a navigation menu and perhaps has a hamburger menu, and compare it, the previous existing design with the proposed navigation design or prototype with the navigation menu. So based on the analysis of, you know, the data that we collect in either this usability test or an A-B or the A-B test, we can then determine whether the hypothesis that's proposed is either supported or rejected by the data we've collected. When we're analyzing this data, we might see that the navigation menu is actually helpful for users, but we might actually discover other new information that, you know, that might possibly optimize the user experience beyond the proposed navigation menu. So I mean, I feel I imagine you can sense how strongly I feel about this. I would love to know your thoughts about this. Please feel free to leave comments. So for those listening on Spotify, please feel free to let me know what are your thoughts about it. Otherwise, you can also connect with me on LinkedIn or Twitter. My handle is in the show notes. Yeah, so give me some time to digest that, right? So my another slightly more eccentric perspective, you know, that I'd love to discuss today is derived from an article written by Jared Spoon, who is, just looking at his bio really quickly, you know, the co-founder of Maker of Awesomeness, Leaders of Awesomeness. If you don't know about them, you could follow him on LinkedIn. That's Jared Spoon. So the title of this article I'm referencing is called A Radical Proposal Puts UX Research in Charge. So of course, I mean, as a user researcher, I'm loving this already. So I'll just give you a couple of lines from the post so you can understand the perspective. So he starts by saying, you know, this will sound radical. Bear with me on this. Product development and design should all report to UX research. That's right. We're talking about a research-driven organization. Everyone in your product development and design teams would report to your research organization led by your chief research officer, or maybe your chief customer officer, or even chief experience officer. Your research-driven organization would drive every decision based on a deep shared understanding of the experiences of your users and customers. No more would your product managers have to guess what's valuable to your customers. Your research will tell everyone what's valuable. No longer will your developers have a vague understanding of when a new capability is done. The research will clarify what users need from the capability. I mean, I think this succinctly says everything it needs to, but I would just quote some other parts of the article he wrote. So basically he's saying why what he's proposing, that UX research should be in charge. So he's saying if UX research is in charge, roadmaps will start with a solid research driven vision. So he's saying deep research delivers perspective. It surfaces many different opportunities. It shows what work is necessary and what work is unnecessary to make improvements in the lives of users and customers. So he is also saying research would make teams more agile. He says the better the research, the more agile your teams become. Your developers, product managers, and designers know exactly what's expected of them as they start each sprint, spike, and epic. Uninformed teams spin their wheels. They build things that don't solve user problems. They deliver products that don't provide value. Instead, they're missing the critical information that points them in the right direction every time. Siloed research doesn't penetrate the product or development spheres. Instead, the knowledge might be somewhere in the organization, but it is not where it needs to be. So at the risk of reading the whole article, I mean, I would encourage you to read it. He shared it on his LinkedIn newsletter. Just to state again, it's by Jared Spool, JaredSpool. The name of this the title of this article is A Radical Proposal Puts UX Research in Charge. So just a final point. He says, in your research-driven organization, your product managers, developers, and designers will have a shared understanding when they start their next iteration. You'll empower these teams to work more autonomously because you've ensured that they have everything they need to make intelligent decisions. Empowered autonomy is the key to true agility. I mean, I couldn't agree with this anymore. So everything he's saying here is when we start with research, when research is at the center of decision making, we are making better decisions. We are making decisions more confidently. We are able to say we better understand our users. We're not having to guess, you know, things that we think will solve user problems or make their lives easier. We understand, we've been exposed as product managers, developers, customer experience, customer support. We understand, we're immersed in the challenges that our customers are facing. And I would say this to say that this is why UX research is so important as a key function of an organization. So of course, I mean, it might seem like every function would probably want to say this, you know, I'm sure the finance teams, of course, we can't survive without them. That's not to say that other functions are not important, but in a technology-driven, user-centered organization who's actually trying to solve a problem, of course, we understand that business must be done, money must be made, but in being able to win users, keep them interested, you know, keep them engaged in your product, you know, you have to stand out from the competition. And by to do this, you need to know them better than the competition knows them, so you can actually make decisions from your design and in your technology and your experience overall that wins these users. So I'd like to that brings us to the end of the podcast episode for today. I'd like to shout out and recommend another podcast I think you'll love if you're interested in UX research. It's called Awkward Silences by User Interviews, hosted by Erin May and John Henry Forster, who are the VPs of Growth Marketing and Product at User Interviews. So I've been listening for about 2 years now, and to quote them, Awkward Silences is a podcast that's all about all things UX research, qualitative data, and the craft of understanding people to build better products and businesses. One of my favorite episodes from them recently is episode number 124, titled Defining a Research Strategy with Devin Harold of Capital One. I'd urge every UX design or research manager to listen to that episode. But in general, I'd encourage UX advocates and researchers to check out their podcast channels. They really discuss, you know, really relatable topics and issues in the field. I feel like I'm sure you will learn a thing or two, as I have. I would also like to encourage you to subscribe to my newsletter that's titled The Spotlight, Product Research and Strategy. It's available on my LinkedIn, Iwalola Shoboale on LinkedIn. You can also subscribe on my Substack. That's at iwalola.substack.com. I wrote recently about how UX researchers should actually love generative AI and how we can incorporate generative AI in our research processes to optimize our work and increase productivity. I mean, I know there's a lot of AI anxiety at the moment. I mean, of course, I know we can't really escape it, but one thing we can be assured of is that AI cannot replace the human touch in, you know, a human-centered design process. That's one of the essential aspects of user research. So thank you for tuning in to this episode. I really hope you've been inspired by the topics we've discussed today. If you have any comments, questions, or feedback for me, please complete my Q&A form. You can access it at tinyurl.com/thespotlightpodcast. I'd really love to hear from you. If you have any other things you'd like to discuss, you can reach out to me at my email, iwalolashubawale@gmail.com. So thank you so much for listening. Till next week, enjoy the rest of your day. Have a good one.